It's funny how sometimes the simplest shapes, the ones we learn about first, actually hold the most profound secrets, especially when you think about things like strength, stability, design.
It's absolutely true. Think about basic building blocks or a really sturdy bridge, even just the frame of a bicycle.
Yeah, they seem so different, but there's often a common geometric element doing the heavy lifting, isn't there?
Exactly. And today we're doing a deep dive into, well, arguably the champion of structural integrity, the triangle.
Ah, the triangle. Our source for this is a chapter called A Tale of Three Intersecting Lines, and we've got our guide, EB, joining us too.
That's right. And our goal today really is to unpack what makes triangles tick. Not just the definition, but why they have these unique properties and how they pop up in some pretty amazing ways in the real world.
Because once you start looking, you really do see them everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the Great Pyramids in Egypt, millennia old, still standing strong.
Incredible structures.
And then you jump forward to something modern, like the Eiffel Tower again, intricate, resilient, built on triangular forms.
So what is the secret? Why triangles?
Well, it's about rigidity. Think about a square frame, just four sticks pinned at the corners. You can easily push it over, make it a rhombus, right? It
Yeah,
collapses.
it squishes.
But a triangle, its angles are fixed by the lengths of its sides. You can't change the shape without actually changing how long a side is. That makes it incredibly resistant to bending or collapsing. That's its superpower, basically, stability.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so to really get into this, we're assuming you listening have some basics down, like points, lines, angles. Maybe you've used a protractor or a compass before.
Yeah, those foundational skills are definitely helpful building blocks for what we're talking about today.
So we know a triangle has three sides, three vertices, the corner points, and three interior angles where those sides meet.
Right. And we name them, triangle ABC or with the little delta symbol AABC. That just helps us talk about specific parts clearly.
Okay, so let's build one. One of the first ways we learn is just using the side lengths, right? The SSS criterion.
Exactly, side, side, side. If you know the lengths of all three sides, you can usually construct a unique triangle.
Like an equilateral triangle. That's the classic
It
example.
is. Three equal sides, and because of that, three equal angles too, always 60 degrees each. And constructing one is that neat compass trick, setting the radius to the side length to make sure they're all identical.
And if the sides aren't equal, say, a scalene triangle, how does SSS work then?
It's a similar idea. You pick one side, lay it down as the base, then you take your compass,
Right.
set it to the length of one of the other sides, put the point on one end of the base, and draw an arc.
Okay.
Then you set the compass to the third side's length, put the point on the other end of the base, and draw another arc where those two arcs cross. Bingo, that's your third vertex.
It is quite satisfying seeing it come together like that.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. What if you try that and the arcs don't cross? Yeah. Imagine you have sticks, say 3 centimeter, 4 centimeters, and 8 centimeters long. Try building a triangle with those. Lay down the 8 centimeter base.
Okay, swing an arc of 3 centimeters from one end, swing an arc of 4 centimeters from the other.
And what happens? They just dangle there, right? They don't
Yeah.
meet. 3 plus 4 is only 7. It's not enough to bridge the 8 centimeter gap.
Ah, so it's not just a drawing mistake, it's impossible.
Exactly. It points directly to a fundamental rule.
The triangle inequality property. I remember this one, it sounds important.
It is. It's absolutely crucial. For any triangle to exist, the sum of the lengths of any two sides must be strictly greater than the length of the third side.
And you have to check all three pairs, right? A plus BC, B plus CA, and A plus CB.
All three must hold true. If even one fails, like our 3, 4, 8 example where 3 plus 4 is not greater than 8, then no triangle for you.
What's fascinating is how this simple rule, stops impossible things from being built, like physically.
Absolutely. Think about the shortest path idea. Going straight from A to C is always shorter than going from A to B, then B to C, unless A, B, and C are all in a perfectly straight line.
Right, the detour is always longer.
In a real triangle, that detour has to be strictly longer, so A plus B must be more than C.
We can picture this with those construction arcs again. If A plus B is greater than C, the arcs cross, you get your nice triangle.
Now, what if A plus B is exactly equal to C?
So the arcs would just touch. Right on the baseline.
Precisely. They meet, but the triangle is completely flat. It's collapsed into a single line segment. We call that a degenerate triangle. No area inside.
A degenerate triangle. I like that. It gave up. And if a plus b is less than c, like our 3-4-8 example,
then the arcs don't even touch. There's a gap. No connection, no triangle. It's impossible. So say you had sides 5 centimeters, 8 centimeters, and 14 centimeters.
Okay, 5 plus 8 is 13.
Which is not greater than 14.
So no triangle possible. It just won't close. It's amazing how that simple check underpins so much stability for engineers and architects.
Definitely. But we don't always have just 3 side lengths, do we? Sometimes we know a mix of sides and angles.
Right. So other construction methods, like SAS, side angle side.
Correct. Side angle side. This works when you know 2 sides and, crucially, the included angle.
The angle between those 2 known sides.
Exactly. You'd use your ruler and protractor for this. Draw one side, measure the included angle at one end using the protractor, draw the second side along that angle line to the correct length, and then just connect the endpoints.
So if you had, say, PQ 6 centimeters, QR 5 centimeters, and the angle at Q, the one in the middle, was 70 degrees, SAS is the way to go.
Perfect example. Then there's ASA, angle, side angle.
Okay, so this time it's 2 angles and the side between them, the included side.
Exactly, the side that connects the vertices of the 2 known angles. For this, you draw the known side first. Then, at each end of that side, you use the protractor to draw rays going off at the given angles.
And where those rays eventually cross.
That's your third vertex. Your triangle is formed. Like if you knew side YZ was 7 centimeters, angle Y was 40 degrees, and angle Z is 60 degrees.
Okay, so with angles, are there similar rules about impossibility? Like, can any 2 angles work for ASA?
Good question. For ASA, there is a condition. The sum of the 2 given angles must be less than 180 degrees.
Why 180?
Well, think about it. If the 2 angles already add up to 180 or more, what happens to the rays you draw?
If they add up to exactly 180, they'd be parallel, right? Like train tracks, they'd never meet.
Exactly. And if they add up to more than 180, they'd actually point away from each other, diverge.
So, again, no intersection, no third vertex, no triangle. You couldn't make one with angles of, say, 100 degrees and 90 degrees.
Impossible. So these criteria, SSS, AS, AS, they're powerful because they don't just let you construct a triangle. They guarantee a unique triangle. Given those specific measurements, there's only one shape and size it can be.
That uniqueness seems really important. Okay, beyond construction, triangles have these, like, hidden internal rules too, right? The big one being about the angles inside.
The angle sum property, yes. Yeah. Absolutely fundamental. The 3 interior angles of any triangle, no matter its shape or size, always add up to exactly 180 degrees.
Always 180. Is that hard to prove or is there an intuitive way to see it?
There's a wonderful, very intuitive demonstration. Take any paper triangle, seriously, any shape, tear off the 3 corners.
Okay.
Now place those 3 corners adjacent to each other so their points meet and the torn edges line up along a straight line.
Ah, they'll perfectly form a straight angle, won't they? A half circle, 180 degrees.
Exactly. It's a beautiful visual proof. And it's super useful practically if you know 2 angles in a triangle, say 55 degrees and 75 degrees.
Then the third one has to be 180 minus 55 minus 75, which is 50 degrees.
Precisely. Lets you find missing information.
So that's the inside angles. But you mentioned sometimes the clues are outside, the exterior angle property.
Right. If you take one side of a triangle and just extend it outwards, the angle formed outside the triangle adjacent to the interior angle is called an exterior angle.
Okay, I can picture that.
The property is this. That exterior angle is equal to the sum of the 2 interior opposite angles, the 2 angles inside the triangle that are not right next to it.
Okay, let's try an example. Say an exterior angle measures 125 degrees, and one of the opposite interior angles is 70 degrees.
Then the other opposite interior angle must be
125 minus 70, which is 55 degrees, because 70 plus 55 equals 125.
You got it. It's a neat shortcut. Sometimes you can find an angle using this property without having to figure out all the interior angles first using the 180 rule.
Clever. Okay, another key idea is the height of a triangle, right? The altitude.
Yes, altitudes are very important, especially when you want to calculate the area later on. An altitude is simply a line segment drawn from a vertex perpendicular down to the opposite side.
Perpendicular meaning it forms a 90-degree angle with that side.
Exactly. That 90-degree angle is key. You'd use a set square protractor to draw it accurately. And every triangle actually has 3 altitudes, one from each vertex to the opposite side.
Okay, 3 heights, depending on which side you consider the base. Now, here's something that surprised me. They don't always fall inside the triangle.
That's right. This is a really interesting point. For an acute angled triangle, where all angles are less than 90, Yes, all three altitudes are neatly contained inside.
Makes sense. But what about a right-angled triangle?
Think about the vertex where the right angle is. The altitude from there goes to the hypotenuse, sure. But what about the altitudes from the other two vertices?
Well, the sides forming the right angle are already perpendicular to each other.
Exactly. So two of the altitudes in a right-angled triangle are actually the two side, the legs that form the right angle itself. They meet right at that 90-degree vertex.
That's efficient.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what about obtuse triangles, the ones with an angle bigger than 90?
This is where it gets even more counterintuitive for some. For the two vertices that have acute angles, the altitude drawn from them has to drop down to the extension of the opposite side. It falls outside the main body of the triangle.
Outside, okay, I need to visualize that. So you extend the baseline, and the height drops down to meet that extended line at 90 degrees.
Precisely. So only one altitude from the obtuse vertex falls inside. The other two are external. Understanding where altitudes fall is part of really reading a triangle.
Which brings us to classifying them.
Yeah.
We can sort triangles based on their sides or their angles, right?
Correct. Let's do sides first. If all three sides are different lengths.
That's a scalene triangle. And because the sides are different, the angles must be different too.
Right. Then if at least two sides are equal.
Isosceles. And the key thing there is that the angles opposite those equal sides are also equal. The base angles.
Perfect. And the special case where all three sides are equal.
Equilateral, which we know also means all angles are equal at 60 degrees each. And technically an equilateral is also isosceles, isn't it? Since it has at least two equal sides.
Good point. Yes, it is. Okay, now classifying by angles. If all three angles are less than 90 degrees.
Acute angle triangle. Everything's sharp.
If one angle is exactly 90 degrees.
Right angle triangle. And we call the side opposite the right angle, the hypotenuse, always the longest side.
And if one angle is greater than 90 degrees?
Obtuse angle triangle.
Yeah.
And a triangle can only have one obtuse angle, right?
Yeah,
because if it had two, the sum would already be over 180.
Exactly. Impossible, according to the angle sum property. So knowing these classifications, scalene, isosceles, equilateral, acute, right, obtuse and understanding altitudes, it all helps describe and analyze any triangle you come across. It's like having the right vocabulary.
Definitely helps avoid confusion. Speaking of confusion, are there common mix-ups people make with triangles?
Oh, definitely. A big one is mixing up the angle sum with quadrilaterals. People sometimes think triangles add up to 360 degrees. Nope. Always 180. Remember the paper tearing trick.
All right. Well, 180 for triangles, 360 for four-sided shapes. What else?
The idea that any three lengths work. We hammered that with the triangle inequality property. The sum of two sides must be greater than the third. Three, four, and eight just won't cut it.
It's a hard rule, not a suggestion.
Exactly. And the last one is that altitude misconception, assuming they always fall inside. Remember our right-angled and obtuse examples where they can be sides or fall outside? It's a subtle but important detail.
Okay, so we've covered construction, properties, classifications. Let's zoom out. Why does all this matter in the bigger picture?
Well, that inherent stability we talked about makes triangles indispensable. Think architecture and urban planning, stable buildings, strong bridges, efficient frameworks.
Navigation uses triangulation, right? For mapping and figuring out distances.
Absolutely. Surveying relies heavily on it. Construction and engineering, obviously cranes, roof trusses, bicycle frames, they all leverage the rigidity of triangles.
Even in art and design for balance and perspective and computer graphics.
Yes. Complex 3D models and games and movies are essentially built from meshes of countless tiny triangles or polygons that break down into triangles. It's the fundamental building block.
Wow, it really is everywhere. You mentioned the pyramids earlier.
Yeah, a perfect large-scale example. Each face is a massive isosceles triangle. The base is about 230 meters, and the sloping sides are roughly 186 meters each.
Let's check the inequality. 186 plus 186 is way bigger than 230, and 186 plus 230 is way bigger than 186. It works.
It certainly does. They understood these principles, maybe intuitively or through careful measurement, thousands of years ago. It's proof of the enduring power of this shape.
So we've journeyed from just three intersecting lines to uncovering some really deep rules and characteristics that make triangles, well, kind of amazing.
They really are the unsung superheroes of the shape world. So next time you're out and about, maybe look at a bridge or a roof structure or even your bike.
And see the triangles holding it all together. Think about that hidden strength, that efficiency.
Exactly. And maybe ask yourself, what other simple shapes might be hiding equally deep and powerful secrets, just waiting for us to take a closer look?
That's a great thought to end on. Definitely gives you something to look for. Start spotting those triangles.